¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFB Podcast. I'm Jorge Georgi Martin and my primos, we're in the house.
What's up, man? It's so excited. We're in September. This is amazing. This is officially September. I can't wait to actually draft our
draft. Less than a week till the draft. I still got to pick out our menu, so I'll be stressing a little bit more about that than my knowledge, because that's rock solid in my head. But
and just so everyone knows, Rick is stressing about the menu because he won our league last year.
So
you can copy our dynamic. The champion, because he wins so much money, has to host the draft the following year, pay for beer, pay for food. So that way, it all works out. Yes, you won $1,000 or $1,200 or whatever it was, but the following year, put some of that money in the bank because you got to pay out for our steak dinner and beer.
No. I'm serving you what Trump served, and that's gonna be fast food. Plates on really good china.
Understand though, because of all the trash talking, we would not let you live that down. So we would highly recommend that you come correct, as they say, and keep it real. Let's go.
Started the next decade, so I'll try my hardest.
All right, man, you got to come correct. Every draft, and another thing, every draft. So up to this point, one of the kind of like principles has been that the host has tried to one up the host of the previous year. So, I smoked a brisket for 12 hours when I won back in 14. I hosted the 15 draft, and I woke up every 2 hours because I threw a brisket on the smoker at like 9 o'clock at night. And I woke up every 2 hours to add more charcoal, and we had brisket sandwiches at the draft. Vic had he bought like
enough for six people.
Excuse something ridiculous. Whatever. Vic had like six or seven growlers of Monkish with some awesome chicken.
We always have the growlers of
Monkish. And last year, Adan hosted at Pizza Port San Diego, so that was amazing. So Rick, we are challenging you this year. You need to one up what Adan did last year. So you really got to impress the crew this year. So there you go.
And of course, we'll be very good. We will be it will be outside and we'll be socially distant. So it'll be
there
good.
There will be pool there.
Yeah. So
I have a Chargers face mask.
Yeah. I have a Dodgers face mask. So there's that.
But we're heavy into draft season. I mean, we're still doing preview type stuff because as we have always recommended, draft as late as possible, which is why we always do our draft on Labor Day weekend. But I had my other super competitive league. Actually, all three of my leagues are incredibly competitive with great players in all of them. But last night was my 14 team True Blue Fantasy Football League, which is formerly the Dodger Front Office League, which I started playing it in 2006, and it's now a little bit half and half front office and alumni. And I got to tell you, man, there's some sharks in that league, and I saw some trends that are really playing out that we were afraid of, and they're really playing out now. I mean, gosh, I got to tell you, I had the number 10 pick. And I had been planning on getting Josh Jacobs because every mock draft he was there at number 10, maybe one or two that he was gone.
Right.
And all of a sudden he got snaked for me at number 9, and it was it was by a buddy of mine, initials GT. Garrett, if you're listening, thank you for taking my guy.
That was a stinger.
It was a stinger, but he softened the blow by saying, "Hey, you've been putting out all your content on Twitter and your podcast. That I'm stealing your."
I guess info. You can't fault a guy for listening to our podcast.
Exactly. Exactly. If he's listening, hey, that was good. But, it was I really felt the need to have to, I looked at all the hurt running backs right after him. It was Miles Sanders, Kenyon Drake in a boot. Joe Mixon has been dealing with migraines.
He's dropping.
He dropped big time. He went down to the number 10 pick in the second round. So I passed on Joe Mixon twice. And I looked and I thought, it's PPR. I got to go Devontae Adams, number 10. And then when it came back to me, it was just like, I thought, okay, maybe I'll get Nick Chubb or Austin Eckler. There were the two picks that went immediately before me. And I also was hoping Aaron Jones was going to go. They all were gone. Wow. They all were gone. I came really close to pulling the trigger and getting DeAndre Hopkins, who I like a lot. But I was like, I can't put myself in that kind of a hole because four
receiver. You can't get receiver, right?
Yeah, three, four. That's where all the receivers after the top four are flying off the board.
Yep.
And so I went James Conner. Took him ahead of Mixon. Ahead of Chris Carson, Melvin Gordon. I mean, all those guys went in the second round. I mean, that's how thin it gets with it.
And this is a 14. Yeah, I was going
to
ask. This is a 14.
And it's weird to see it as a 14 because it's like, dang, your team sucks. But then you say it's 14, and it's like, no wonder your team gets so thin so quick. You know, no, but like,
that's real. That is real. 14.
Like Blake Jarwin, really? People have him on their team.
Well, yeah, that was the thing. And I felt, you know, I started to sweat a little bit in the third round, but then Jonathan Taylor fell to us, and, you know, with the number 10 pick, and I'm hoping he has that breakout season.
I've been looking at Jonathan Taylor. Yeah, I've been looking at him too. I've been doing some mock drafts. I have seven pick in our Familia draft. So whenever I mock draft, I take number 7, and I've actually seen Jonathan Taylor. I can't remember which round it is, but he's available too. I think maybe third round. Possibly second. Yeah.
Too many running backs on my team on that team for me to want any piece of that.
Yeah,
man. But I tell you, the running backs were thin, and then it just I also reinforced them. And somebody even said it last night because we did it online and via Zoom, so we could do trash talk with each other. Even like in the fifth and sixth round, people were talking about like, man, the receiver is so stacked. It's so deep. I mean, Michael Gallup, I know Ricky, you didn't love him, but he went in the sixth round. AJ Green, Will Fuller went in the sixth round. I mean, those guys, those are some, you know, some ballers right there, still getting them there.
Yeah,
I mean, because everybody else is gone. But you know what? Then, you know, Hector, you know, before we started, you talked about that second wave of running backs that was coming.
Yes, that's there. Yes.
That happened in round 7. You know, yeah, J.K. Dobbins. That's
exactly. Yeah, exactly.
That's where Leonard Fournette, Mr. got released yesterday.
Bum, 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 bum,
bam. He went in that round. David Montgomery went in that round. So, I mean, it was Zach Moss went there. We got Antonio Gibson there, which I was really happy to.
That second round of running backs.
But yeah, you're looking at that, and it was just I don't want this to be all about mine, but it is so funny how you see those waves, and
happens. I mean, I've done tons of mock drafts, and that's consistent. You know what I mean? If you're, you know, that's consistent. Every time you do a draft, you're kind of seeing the same patterns.
Yeah, there's certain trends that keep.
Yeah, the trends that happen is just. And that's good. You know, that's why it's always a good idea. You know, it's highly recommended if you're out there. Do the mock drafts. Do as many as you can. And yes, you're going to get all kinds of different teams. You're going to get A grades from Yahoo. You're going to get D grades from Yahoo or Fantasy Pros or, you know, ESPN or wherever you do your mock drafts. You're going to be all over the place. The purpose of doing your mock drafts is to get a feel for what the trends are, to get a feel for what other players are thinking. And that way, when you actually have your real draft, you can have some ammo to use and say, okay, you know what? This is what I remember from the mocks. These are the things that are happening. These guys are going in these rounds. So I'm going to jump on them, you know, one round ahead of where, you know, I did 10 mock drafts and this guy went in, you know, the 7th round in every draft. I'm going to pick him up in the 6th. So it gives you a lot of ammo. It gives you a lot of strategy going into your actual draft. So yeah, can't say enough about your mocks. Get in there as many as you can.
We should have a bet with just us three now that we're on the air on who gets a better grade on our draft this coming weekend.
Ooh, it's on. Well, we always put in $5 on a bet.
But I'm talking about just us three.
Us three? That's good.
Where these
$20. $20. Let's go.
No, beer bet.
All right, beer bet. Put it in there. Add it to the list, George.
Everybody gives a – everybody buys a beer to the –
And we're going
to
find out right away, too. So.
Right away.
Yeah, we're going to know right then. Right then and there.
Yeah, right. Yahoo's gonna say, you know what, Hector? We don't even have a letter for you. Your draft was so incredible. It's
right. Yeah, no, I mean that's
what's better than A?
If that's how they want to soften the blow, yeah, sure. I've been rock solid so far as grades, so I'm excited.
I had my share of A grades for sure, and I had my share of crap grades too. So you know, you can never trust for the Yahoo. They go by points. You know, if you want a good grade on the Yahoo, if you want a good grade on the Yahoo draft two QBs, and for sure you're gonna have a good score.
So that's two tight ends.
You know, I got fourth in my league, and I didn't even draft a kicker.
Right, exactly. So, I've done that too. You get. So if you don't draft a kicker, you're getting like a C or a D.
No. I got like a B minus or an A minus or a B plus or an A minus with no kicker. Oh wow. I did really good. Yeah, in the draft.
They just go by points.
Like, yeah, I didn't pick a kicker. And with our final pick, we grabbed Bryan Edwards, who now may be in a pretty good position, which we're going to talk about in a second. But Rick, any other fantasy observations on your drafts that you made so far?
Honestly, it's just don't forget that there's human error and there's fanboys.
Ah, yes. So
my buddy just traded Hopkins and I forget who else for Ezekiel Elliott because he's a huge Cowboys fan. It's like, oh my God, really? So use that to your benefit. If you know fanboys, get that guy. You know what I mean? Like, just use that against people.
Yes.
Get ready for trades if you know what you're doing. And remember who the idiots are, but remember who the people are who are going to make bad picks, so you can kind of strategize around
that.
We'll
say the less skilled in your group.
There you go. I mean, that's not what I say in my head, but yeah.
Well, we're gonna get into that in our sí o no portion of the show, but first let's get in some cheese man. So Joe Mixon found a cure for migraines, 4-year, $48 million contract extension.
Very convenient, yes. $48 million will cure my migraines, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All kidding aside, good for him. I'm always yes. up for the players getting paid. He's a good ball player. He's been good for the team. I did pass on him twice, and I probably would have passed on him twice even if he hadn't missed time with the migraines. But it became easier to do that. But you know what? It's good. I still would like him to have a better line.
Do you feel like people play less when they don't play as hard after they get the extension? I've always heard something like that, and they play harder their contract year, or that's, you know, you want to get a guy on their contract year.
I mean, some guys do kind of Cadillac it after they get paid, but you know, you get to see a lot of times you get to see that bump the first year, or I've seen the guy kind of like really lives up to the contract the first year, or the other thing that happens is they try too hard to live up to the contract the first year, and they actually, you know, it's actually a year later that they have their big bump. But it's hard to me. If the great ones are going to be great, even if they're
right, exactly,
if they get paid.
Paid or not,
we're going to find out if Joe Mixon is great, but
well, maybe not. I mean, it may just be his team and his schedule. We've talked before about the Bengals schedule is just brutal. The first five games are brutal. We have a rookie quarterback. You know, that's
garbage time.
That doesn't help. Yeah, and garbage time benefits the receiver. So Joe Mixon may, because of negative game script, as good as he is, I'm staying away. Just like you said, George, I'm going to avoid him only because I don't like their schedule. I don't like the fact that he's with a rookie. I don't like you said, the O-line suspect as well. There's a lot of factors there. Yes, he's a great player, but I just don't know if he'll show it this year. Maybe give Joe Burrow a year. But yeah, I'm staying away. I'll let other people draft him. Like Rick says, I'll let other people get that crappy pick.
Well, let the next one is somebody you're going to have to get, you know, with the number 7 pick is someone you're going to have to deal with. You know, there's definitely a lot of reports on Alvin Kamara.
He's dropping.
Is it Kamara or Kamara? Because this guy I was talking to yesterday, we kept saying the names differently to each other, waiting for the other one to like.
That's an argument that happens after beer. That's only an argument that happens after people have been drinking.
I say it like in Spanish, camarada.
Camarada.
Mi camarada.
Mi camarada. You know, but you know, what's going to happen? Either so the talk is, are they going to re-sign him, or are they going to trade him for a pick? You know, for a pick. I think that's a smokescreen going up chess. By the Saints. It's you're right. Go chess. For it, heck.
They're playing. This is a chess game. These guys are playing chess. Alvin Kamara and his agent and the Saints front office are playing a very high stakes game of chess. This is like. What was that game? Bobby Fischer and like the Russian guy when they played chess back in the old days, like in the 70s and 60s. This is a chess game. And obviously the Saints do not want to get rid of Alvin Kamara. This guy's a beast. And he, you know, they're finally excited to see what he's gonna do this year. The guy's just he's like a video game. You know, the Alvin Kamara, when he's healthy, he will score on anyone, anytime, anywhere. And put big points on the board. Drew Brees loves to toss the ball to him and just let him go. He'll catch the ball. He will just run the ball. He's about as good as it gets. And if he was healthy any given year, this guy's candidate for MVP any year. And I would argue with anyone who says anything different than that. Alvin Kamara is a bona fide MVP candidate any given year. The guy can do it. So the fact that the
Saints are going to get him then?
Well, if he's available at 7, I'll scoop him up, sure. Just like last year, it was Melvin Gordon and Ezekiel Elliott. Oh, they're holding out, whatever. But when the season started, if you were lucky enough to pick those guys while they were holding out, when they started the season, it paid off. So
It didn't pay off for Zeke.
Melvin Gordon. It paid off for Zeke.
Oh, yes. Well, no, didn't Melvin Gordon didn't he didn't do well last year.
He sucked last year. That's why we didn't want him.
he missed 4 games because he missed 4 games.
I thought he missed more than that, but
no, it was four.
He was very inefficient.
Yeah, he was not good.
Zeke drops back to the fourth round or third round last year.
No. He still went in the first round. He still went in the first round.
But everybody was scared. People were scared. People were like, you know what? I'm not going to take him. So there was that. So. If Kamara, you know, falls right now, he's going to what ADP is like 4 overall. If he falls to 7, yes. I don't know if I could pass up on him at 7.
It would be the second year in a row you regret taking Kamara.
I know, I took him last year, and we'll see. But yeah, I think they will come to an agreement. I think that he will get his money. You know, if that's why he's holding out, which it is, obviously, this is not a secret. They'll pay him. They'll extend him like the day before the season starts, and everyone will be happy. This is business. It's big business. This is big boy stuff, and it's gonna happen. So I wouldn't worry. If you're worried about taking Kamara in the first round, I wouldn't stress about it. Go ahead and confidently take him. Everything will be fine.
It is interesting that you know they're talking about the Saints wanting to get the $12 million a year. Number, which is exactly what Joe Mixon got, and it's rumored what the Vikings want to pay Dalvin Cook. So, you know, it's kind of like they've got that number for the top running back talent, and Kamara is obviously going for Christian McCaffrey money, it's $16 million. So, that one's going to be something.
As he should.
I'm predicting that there will be a resolution to this, and he will have a new contract by the time we kick off our draft on Sunday.
Yes, agreed. Remember, Rick, Alvin Kamara was number 2 consensus overall last year. If Brees doesn't get hurt, if Kamara doesn't get hurt.
If.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no reason to think
you can't Kamara sign a contract with if in it.
Yes,
so,
sure you
well,
can.
I mean,
Alvin Kamara,
yeah,
you
but now we're at 16 mil. Christian McCaffrey is the best player in the NFL by far. He should have been picked easily number
Kamara
1 last
can,
year.
Kamara can do
so he deserves
every,
16
Kamara
million.
Can do everything McCaffrey can
no,
do.
He cannot.
Absolutely
no, he cannot.
Everything. Tell me what he can't.
They don't need him either.
He can't run the ball 287 times, which is
they don't
CMC
need him
did.
That much, heck. They got a built team. Latavius Murray showed that he can take that team on his back and win. So that and even the team showed that they can do it with Teddy Bridgewater. That team's got weapons, so they're fine. They're
Teddy
fine
Bridgewater,
without
that's my
that's
secret
part
pick.
Of the playoff team. He needs
that's
to take
my guy. That.
Well, let's keep going on Cheesemit because we can't do another all Cheesemit show. But Ricky, bad news on Derwin James.
Something I want to talk about, but he had a Jones fracture in the right foot last August, right? Now he's got a right meniscus, this time out 6 to 8 months, so spring 2021. Dude's going to play within 3 years, 21 games. It sucks. It is a big hit for the Chargers, but they didn't have him all last year, so I still think they're going to be strong. They still got a good secondary. But, I mean, other than that, when you have a Jones fracture, it's like the pinky toe, the middle of it. You don't want to land on it, so, of course, the knee's going to buckle next. And, yeah, I feel bad because I love the guy. He's amazing.
Oh, he's a ball player. He's a baller.
And he's one of my favorite players on the team. I almost got his jersey, so I'm kind of happy I didn't. But, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. I love the guy, so it does hurt to talk about it.
Oh, man. Well, there's another player out for the season, Tyrell Williams, going on IR, which, you know, I found out about this like 10 minutes before we recorded because I jumped on Twitter just to kind of look and see if there was anything. And then all of a sudden I see Bryan Edwards trending. I thought, what the heck is happening? And then it's all with, you know, sky, you know, rocket ship or space shuttle emojis with people, you know, talking about his draft stock, and made me feel good. I picked him in round 15 yesterday in the Dodger draft as instead of a kicker. So that was good. I'm going to have a tough time picking up, dropping somebody to get a kicker.
And we're saying Tyrell needed to stay out for the year too, or at least heal up. So I'm happy he's doing that for himself.
Yeah, you know, and but now it's going to all of a sudden you've got it's a young crew, but it's Ruggs and Edwards, and you still got Hunter Renfrow, who our friend Vinny B was still giving some props to last week.
Yeah,
it's going to be you know what? This is going to be an underrated team. They got a great line. They got a great running game. It's going to be, you know, they can't stack eight in the box because they might have some rough games early. But I think actually off the top of my head, I have to look. But I think they've got a pretty good schedule opening up the season. So it could be soft landing.
I'm going to try to avoid everyone on that team.
All right. Well, I'll take Edwards and Ruggs.
So don't worry about me taking anyone ahead of you guys.
There you go. So another guy that I don't know if Ricky's going to want to take is Breshad Perriman. He's missed over a week of practice. And, you know, he came on late in the season last year in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he did.
And now he's, you know, injuries are coming up. So swelling in his knee. You know, he had a sprain and a surgery in there. The Jets are a team that's really scaring me.
I don't want anyone on that team either.
I was really liking Darnold, what he did at the end of last season, but I just yo no sé. No me gusta esto.
Not even Herndon. I mean, we're talking about Herndon next.
Yeah,
I mean,
go ahead.
Well, give it, take Bell. I had Bell on my other team.
That was the one bright spot. Like, oh, Chris Herndon. You know, all these receivers are going down, and you know, Chris Herndon's going to be like the bright spot. You know, I saw so many. You know, Instagram and, you know, social media, like, oh man, you got, you know, Chris Herndon's going to be the man this year. You got to pick him up because he's going to be like the lone bright spot on the Jets offense. And now we see that he has a chest injury. he leaves Tuesday's practice with a chest injury. So man, this is, they're like San Francisco 49ers 2.0, like all these injuries that are happening to the Jets. Like I just feel bad for them, but you know, I was staying away from them anyway.
No, it's bueno. Well, one guy that might be rising up draft boards, Darrington Evans, you know, which a lot of people have been kind of discounting because he's in Tennessee backing up Derrick Henry, and he's a different type of running back. But Peter King, none other than Peter King, Mr. Football Morning in America, says that Darrington Evans has a chance to be a poor man's Alvin Kamara, which I think we're starting to see teams kind of play copycat with that kind of like scat back running back that catches a lot of balls, obviously. You know, Austin Eckler is that kind of guy for the Chargers, but that got my orejas kind of up a little bit to kind of think, you know, that might be something to keep an eye on.
Definitely lowers Derrick Henry's stock by maybe one or two in PPR, but as far as our league, non-PPR doesn't affect him at all. They say that he's still going to be the main runner, but so he doesn't catch a few balls, it goes to this guy.
He's still going to get 300 carries. And you know what? They don't have a lot of receivers outside of A.J. Brown. And, you know, they got Jonnu Smith as the tight end. But they don't have a lot of guys that they trust. So maybe it could be kind of like, I mean, think about it. Was there a number two receiver that emerged next to Michael Thomas? No. And then the number two receiver was Alvin Kamara. So vamos a ver. Almost ended that one. So something to keep in mind. Something to keep in mind. I wish I had seen this yesterday. I should have read the column.
He would have been your 15th pick, but then you wouldn't have been able to pick Brian Edwards.
Yeah. Well, I got Antonio Gibson in that one, so I'm happy. I'm happy on that one. Last one, Sean McVay talked about the fact that Cooper Kupp is not – it's not a low ankle sprain, that he's only dealing with soreness, so which is a little bit of a – eso está bien. But he did say that Daryl Henderson is going to miss practice this week, so – that is worrisome, you know, for his stock of possibly challenging Cam Akers to be the starting running back. So, you know, a little bit of a good news, bad news kind of thing there for the Rams. But we're going to see. Well, you know, let's get into our main event on this one. We've got our draft day, As you guys mentioned, you know, our draft for our Familia League is coming up on Sunday. And, you know, everybody's doing their last minute cramming. They're all listening to the Familia FFB podcast, making sure to get some last nuggets.
If they were smart, they would.
Trying to steal some ideas or maybe looking at the previews we have on FamiliaFFB.com. But yeah, you know what? It's so much excitement and anticipation. And it's easy to want to kind of like get overexcited and do something wrong. You know, if your guy gets snaked right in front of you. So, hey, you know what? Stay cool. Be flexible. I've heard the term a lot, stay water, which is a Bruce Lee term, but
fluid. Keep it fluid. You know,
we thought we'd do a little bit 10 things that maybe it's a kind of good idea to do in your drafts. Honest, I'm going to give you some warning. We don't all agree on this one, which is kind of fun anyway. So we'll see what kind of familiar arguments that we're going to have right now. First one was zero RB. Unless you know what you're doing, don't do it.
I know. I don't even understand, especially like we're talking about trends, and especially with this year, that if you want to score points, you know, there's a handful of running backs that are available that are running backs that have the ability to really give you some points that you're going to need. Obviously, you know, we've talked about, you know, some of the trends within the NFL is that there are a lot of RBBC, running back by committee, that are kind of creeping up, that are occurring in the NFL. Coaches are starting to utilize that more and more. So there's not that many bell cows left. So, you know, I wouldn't recommend zero RB to anyone. I don't even know how you can win with that strategy, which became popular, I think, a couple of years back. People started talking about the zero RB strategy, but I would not jump on this. You know, at least in my first three rounds, I want two running backs. So anyone doing zero RB, I don't get it. And I would not recommend this.
No, and this is the one position I think you should get depth in too. Wide receivers, they'll come and go, everyone on everyone's team except for the elites. But as far as running backs, God, there's only like really 10, you know, elite caballos. So get one. Otherwise, you're going to be wanting one when everyone on your team's sucking and your running backs you cannot trust. So don't, I would say the first three rounds, please get one. Otherwise, you're going to be calling us wanting to know answers to why your team sucks.
I took three wide receivers. What do I do? Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, I go back to the mock draft that we did in early July, Ricky, where you picked number 12 and you went receiver to see what it looked like. And you hated your team. You hated your team because you were picking those running backs that we highlighted in our
live. It's like desperation. Episode.
Yeah. So I don't want to be picking from the, I mean, obviously there's Leonard Fournette is not in that group anymore. The Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, that group, it's not a fun aisle to go shopping in, especially when guys like DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley and AJ Brown and Mike Evans, they're going at that point. So, you don't want to be shopping there when everybody else is, grabbing those guys and they've got their two running backs ahead. So, you know, don't do it. Another no is don't just follow last year's stats. Don't think that you're going to get a repeat performance, especially on guys who are rookies and are going to come up ahead. You know, what you're looking is you're looking ahead. Now, last year, there was no way to predict someone like Lamar Jackson exploding like it was. I'm not even gonna say that. I mean, can Buzz see that you're gonna get a guy who's gonna get a quarterback's gonna run for 1,200 yards?
Right.
But you had to look at the fact that, you know, maybe he was going to get better. I mean, he, you know, that he was that kind of that kind of supreme athlete. And you look for progression, or you look at the age of a player. Is he getting to that, you know, they're saying 26, 27 is that peak age for running backs where they start to decline after that. I mean, I think they're saying now 26, 27 instead of 30.
Yeah,
unless you're Mark Ingram or Frank Gore or those guys, but
Adrian Peterson.
But you look at exactly Adrian Peterson, but you don't. So you don't look at that, and so you project for the season ahead, and that's why I'm looking at, you know, I look at guys like AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, Terry McLaurin, guys who really exploded in the second half of last season of their rookie year, and looking for them to move their numbers up. What do you guys think?
Let me tell you what stats you need to look at, okay? And I hate that I'm giving you guys this advice.
Ooh, you're not just giving it to us. You're giving it to the familia community.
That's why it's great. You have to look at, A, you can look at targets. So that, you know, look at that target to reception ratio. How many did they catch? Were they a high percentage? This way, you know, if that number goes up, all the others are. But if they're low, maybe they have they have more promise. But also you want to look at the average they did every game, because some players only played 7 games, 9 games. So their numbers are going to look way low. But when you compare them in the average, you're going to say, oh, my goodness, every time this guy played, he did something. He just didn't play for 5 games. So the one stat I do look at is averages and targets. So I always have that in my back pocket. So keep that in mind.
No, I think one thing to consider is when players change teams. I think about Teddy Bridgewater, and to me it's shocking that I'm all over social media and I'm just watching that Teddy Bridgewater's just getting like zero love. Like no one's saying anything about Teddy Bridgewater. Like, oh, this guy's gonna be terrible, and he's, you know, he hasn't done anything. But I'm looking at the stats, and just the fact that he won 5 games in a row last year with the Saints. I mean, this is he came in, Drew Brees went down, and Alvin Kamara wasn't even completely healthy. And Teddy Bridgewater came in and still won a lot of games, 5 in a row with the Saints. And now he changes teams and he goes to the Panthers. He has the number one overall pick on his squad in Christian McCaffrey. DJ Moore is getting all kinds of love. He's a high-ranked, high ADP wide receiver, but for whatever reason, Teddy Bridgewater is like, I don't know, QB 58, or I don't know what it is. It doesn't make any sense to me. So, yes, don't necessarily look, especially when a player changes teams, they're not going to get as much love. Oh, he's in a new system. Stephon Diggs, same thing. Stephon Diggs is not getting a lot of love. He's moving from the Vikings over to the Bills. I'm not seeing Stephon Diggs getting as much love as I think he should. No, so keep that in mind. Last year, with one team moving to a new team this year, just keep that in mind that a lot of times people are fading guys that change teams. I don't buy it. Stick with your guy.
All right. Well, we got number 3 in our hit parade. Don't pick handcuffs. And I'm going to give you the painful corazón roto with, 11th round. I had Todd Gurley as my lead caballo, and I was worried about him. I was worried about that knee. And so I just was like, okay, I got to grab somebody. I got to grab Malcolm Brown to be his backup. And the very next pick was Lamar Jackson, MVP of the 2019 season. So if that doesn't give you enough reason not to pick a handcuff, yeah, you know it. What?
And they're always available in the free agency.
I will never pick a handcuff ever again. I'll call it the Georgie rule.
Yep.
I'll never draft a handcuff ever.
Georgie. See, however, guys, I do have Cam Akers and J.K. Dobbins as my handcuffs, so I feel like that was a good idea.
I don't know if Akers is a handcuff, though. I don't know.
I think Akers is the guy. Akers.
Yeah. Well, in that case, I have Henderson as my handcuff.
Yeah, you got Henderson. But you look at that. But the thing is, there's some talk about taking a flyer at the end of the draft on someone else's handcuff, grabbing like a Chase Edmonds or a Tony Pollard, Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray might actually have more, standalone value.
No, not with Kamara playing. No, he's garbage with Kamara playing.
You know, he I think there's always the, you know, I think maybe New Orleans hoped for getting out of Latavius Murray what they got out of Mark Ingram, who was a top 10 running back both his Kamara's first years when Kamara was exploding. But no, I look at, Murray could be a guy, especially if Kamara misses any time. Kareem Hunt is probably an exception to the rule because I don't think he's a handcuff because he gets so much work in the passing game. He's almost like a Kamara type for the Browns. So, but again, don't take two, your picks are too valuable. Don't take two picks for one position.
I think if you get Chubb and then you get later, you get a, Kareem Hunt, I don't think that's a bad idea.
No, I agree. Because again, Hunt's not necessarily a handcuff. He's the guy. He's the guy that's going to get a lot of balls. I think he's going to get a lot of the balls that the tight ends would normally get, like the Austin Hoopers of the world. So we'll see.
So you mean like the people who are like behind the lead Caballo?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Screw those guys.
Yeah. All right. So,
but yes.
Numero cuatro. This is a C. Do have a plan at running back.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said a second ago, in my top three picks, I want to have at least two running backs. At least two running backs. And you know, some guys take three running backs back to back, which you know in the past was unheard of. But last year, you know, our cousin Raul took three running backs to start. And now I'm starting to see that this has actually become kind of, you know, the absolute opposite of zero RB. You're having guys that are taking RB with the top three picks, which is just completely flipped everything on its head. But it's actually not a bad strategy.
I'm not going to lie, guys. I never look at O-line ratings ever. Never in my 10-year history of fantasy football. But, yeah, thanks for recognizing that I won the championship in 2017.
Oh yeah, let's get into that one. So yeah, number five. I actually that was the year I really started to look at offensive lines in 2017 because I was happy that I was going to get Le'Veon Bell with the number two pick, and I was convinced that you had the number one pick, you were going to get David Johnson.
And this was the year before Le'Veon. This wasn't when he had the 4 games suspension, right?
It was the year before that.
That was the year that he held out all through training camp. He reported on Labor Day, and he played all 16 games. He was fantastic. He was one of the top running backs.
Because I've also had him. I've had him a couple times, but yeah.
I think Le'Veon Bell. I think I was in the championship in 2016 with Le'Veon Bell. That's when he became a stud, and I had him in 2016. Yeah, I went to the championship, I think, against Vic, and Vic beat me. And then 2017, when everyone knew Le'Veon Bell was awesome, obviously by the fact that he was consensus, number two? And then Rick took him at number one.
But you snaked him, Ricky, and then and I thought, okay, that's fine. I'm going to get David Johnson, but I knew he had an inferior offensive line, and that offensive line I think played a part in him getting his wrist injury in the very first game, and he missed the whole rest of the season. And you ended up winning the championship, and I was watching on the sidelines with Todd Gurley that I picked in the second round because he was a one man show and he couldn't even get me there. So yeah. Go to Pro Football Focus. They've got their rankings on their offensive lines, and that's a good one. I mean, the thing is, you look at the teams that have good offensive lines. They're usually the teams that are going to the playoffs. And you know, you look at teams like the Colts have the number one line, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Chiefs, the Saints, Cowboys, Packers, all have wonderful offensive lines. The Raiders are highly ranked. So the 49ers and Eagles. So big surprise, those guys are good. The Eagles, all their receivers are hurt, so just get Zach Ertz and hope that Miles Sanders is back and healthy. So, this is number six is a personal favorite. Stacks. Get your stacks, Ricky. Dígame.
I think stacks are great, especially for daily fantasy. Right, you want to get like three or four people. But personally, I love stacks when it's just one player, personally. So, like, if you want to get Patrick Mahomes, I don't know if you can get Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill, but maybe Patrick Mahomes and then Travis Kelce, but then you're skipping on a lot doing that. But you get the point. This way, no matter what, when they win, you win. And then sometimes the quarterback can do good and your other guy get lost in the equation. And that's part of why I don't like having more than three on your fantasy team, because if the team gets slaughtered, you're going to have three people with zeros pretty much, or with 5 points. And that's the one thing I don't like about stacking. But if you can do, you know, at least two sets of teams, it makes it, I don't know, it makes it a little bit more fun and a lot more easier for research.
No, I remember, you know, talking about stacks. I think the classic stack, if you've been playing fantasy for any number of years, you were Tom Brady and Gronk. You know, if you had Brady and Gronk, you know, that you were loving it. If you had Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham a couple of years back, that was a stack to have. You know, it always seems like, you know, a QB and a tight end is a great stack. And usually, to your point, Rick, if you have a stud wide receiver, you're generally not going to be able to get a stud wide receiver and a quarterback stack. It's kind of rare, but you can sneak in a stud QB with.
You can get Drew Brees and Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, you could probably do that. Yeah, that'd be a great stack, and I actually thought about that too. I was thinking about that earlier, like, damn,
well,
that'd be a stack
for
to have.
Us now.
Brees and Michael Thomas would be a great, but yes, yeah, you know, Tyreek Hill and Mahomes would be an awesome stack. But yes,
I
if
know
you can,
what stack you're doing, Hed.
You know, double
you're
up
like Bridgewater Moore.
Yes, I would love that, or Hollywood Brown and Lamar Jackson is another good one. That's another great stack, especially because Hollywood Brown's going so late. So that's another great one. But yeah, but you know, I always call it double. You know, you call it a stack, you call it doubling up, whatever you want to call it. But if your QB throws to your receiver, you're doubling up on points. And what better way to beat your opponent by, you know, especially if you're down by 10, you know, going into the fourth quarter and your QB throws a TD to your receiver and you just blew him out because you just scored, you know, 18 points or 20 points or whatever it is on one pass. It's great. So yeah, get your stacks wherever you can.
I'll give you a couple of examples from back in the olden days when I started playing fantasy. I actually fell in love with a stack idea in my very first draft back in 1990, where my quarterback was Boomer Esiason, and I picked his number one receiver, Eddie Brown. So they hooked up, I think it was 8 times that year. But the one where it really paid off for me was 2 years later. I stacked Jerry Rice. I had like the top 3 pick. And I had Jerry Rice, and then in the third round, I came back and I grabbed Steve Young, and that was the year that he exploded for like 35 touchdowns. Jerry
Wow.
Rice had like 84 receptions, 1,200 yards, 10 touchdowns, and he was huge in the playoffs. So I just destroyed the league that year. And then a few years later, I think it was 2000, I grabbed Randy Moss and stacked him with Dante Culpepper in his breakout season.
Game over, yeah.
It was just another one. So it pays off. Grab your stacks. And I'm glad that in my Dodger league, I was able to stack Big Ben with Deontay Johnson and actually James Conner. And then on for bye week or maybe bad matchups, I got Ryan Tannehill to stack with.
That's
AJ
great.
Brown,
so. I loved
See, but
I love
in that
Ryan
same
Tannehill.
Respect, Big Ben go down with the elbow injury and boom, your three people on your team are now all zeros because Conner's not going to do good without him. Deontay's not going to do good without him. That's the one.
Big Ben will play.
Like
Big Ben
it.
Will play. Even if his leg fell off, Big Ben will play. I mean, the last year was a fluke.
Well, I will say, I'm going to have the Veladora. And last night when I picked him, I announced our friend Jesse Nunez from our familia, our earlier. I said I was going to light a Veladora for him to be healthy. So fingers crossed. Orale.
Yes,
I got the Veladora.
Definitely.
So numero siete.
You should bring some to the draft.
Or seven.
We just might. I might go steal one from my mom's house. Number seven, numero siete. Either go early or wait on tight end. So, you know, George Kittle, Travis Kelce, second round picks, they're putting up wide receiver one numbers as a tight end. They give you a huge advantage of there. It really falls off. As great as Mark Andrews and Zach Ertz, they are not in that, in that rarefied air. And they're going in those rounds where you're passing up like a Cooper Kupp or Calvin Ridley.
And if you don't get either of those two, Andrews or Ertz, wait, wait. Because there's just no one good enough. There's a lot of what ifs at the end. Not a lot of people are picking Hockenson. And I get it. He had an injury and Stafford had an injury. But if Stafford's back to the way he was last year,
right.
Hockenson's going to be getting those goal line. Right. Oh, my goodness.
Tyler Higbee, right, George? Tyler Higbee, same thing, right, George?
Or even Jonnu Smith. Yeah, Tyler Higbee. Well, Tyler Higbee's going at like eighth tight end.
Jonnu Smith, I've seen not even. He will make some noise. Tyler Higbee is another one of those. I've been watching him in my mock drafts. Tyler Higbee is always available. Waller's even available late.
That's why I just wait for it. Yeah. Get value, get close depth, and other things.
Exactly.
If you don't get Kelce,
there's way too much value in the wide receiver position. In any league with your tight end spot, there's, like you said, Rick, there's like the tiers are very defined. Top tier is like you got your Kittle, you got your Kelce, and then after that it just kind of falls apart. You know, you'll get mediocre. Yeah, you have Mark Andrews, you have some mediocre tight ends kind of for the rest of your draft. And you know, you're gonna get what you're gonna get. If you don't get those top tier guys, just wait. Get receivers. Stack your roster with good receivers, with good running backs. You know, just kind of, it is what it is. You just sacrifice it and just, you know, take another like lower tier, mid tier tight end later on. They're all gonna be kind of in the same bubble. It is what it is.
All right. So this one, I know where this one's getting numero ocho. This is another no, and one of us is going to get a little bit feisty about this one. Don't pick guys starting the year hurt or suspended.
That's Rick. Rick loves that. Rick. That's why Rick became an ER nurse, only because he loves injured players.
I was studying all the injuries so much.
He studied all the injuries. I was like, man, I could do this for a living.
Patients come in. I'm like, oh, that's what AJ Green had in the 2012 season. And, that's eight weeks off, and you're going to want a new contract.
You know, sir, AJ Green had the same injury 10 years ago.
Tell me why, George. I loved your last C. Or definitely with the tight ends, spot on, beautiful. Tell me why you put this there.
I don't want to be limited at the beginning of the season to basically limiting my team to a roster, one fewer roster spot than everybody else. I want the options. I don't want to have that funneled, that narrow a team that early. I want the opportunity for somebody to blow up. Because
Max it out.
Because this, we're going to talk about this, next week a little bit, because we got to start looking ahead to the season next week, because everybody should be done with their drafts by then, or mostly done. Yep. But I want to be able to drop guys really easily in those first 2 weeks, because I think some of the players that could become redraft studs for you, Terry McLaurin was a big pick, and you picked him even though you were carrying AJ Green. But the thing is, I want to have the ability to be able to drop guys so that I could pick up. So I want to have a flexible roster at that point. I don't want to be handcuffed so much to have a guy that may be sitting out half the season. So let me just
let you know, guys.
Tell me where I'm wrong, Primo.
If you draft well, you have spots for these types of players who are injured 6-8 weeks, suspended, whatever, because you have depth. And for the it's a risk, but it's a calculated risk. You know, I held on to AJ Green all year pretty much last year, and I still won the championship. I still had depth. It's just the way you maneuver it. It's a calculated risk. If you know you're thick and wide receiver, last year I knew that I didn't have that many good wide receivers, so I had to take chances, and I just happened to get lucky with Godwin. But that was one position I decided to give up on, so that way I knew I could take long shots in the dark with AJ Green or whoever else there was, and every now and then you get a hit. He was a miss, but I got Scary Terry was a hit. Godwin was a hit, so it allowed me to make those risks. So I get it, Georgie. Well,
you picked Godwin.
I know, that's what I mean. There was still a risk because who knew what he was going to do, especially with Jameson. And then Scary Terry I picked up because I needed wide receivers, because I knew I was going to be pretty much naked with them. I drafted none as far as like no big names. So I don't know. I love the injured players because no one's going to pick them. As soon as they're healthy, if you can at least go 50% in your league as far as wins, losses, then if the player's worth it because you know they're going to be a starter, you know they're going to get mad points, take the quick hit. It's a calculated risk, but take the big hit. I love doing it. even in baseball, Georgia.
A couple years ago, I remember when Tom Brady was he was suspended for four games for, was it Deflategate, right? That was Deflategate. Tom Brady was out for like 4 weeks, or, you know, and then Zeke, a couple of years back, wasn't Zeke out for like 4 weeks also for like suspension or whatever it was?
I think it was six, yeah.
But I mean, yeah, so I remember that year I picked up Tom Brady, even though he was suspended. I drafted him. He did go late, but I drafted him because I knew, you know, once Tom Brady, you know, yeah, the first couple of weeks, yes, I'm going to have to draft the second QB, someone serviceable that can at least maintain my record until my guy's available. So I don't know if I made the playoffs or obviously I don't think I won that year, but I think it worked out only because, you know, like Rick said, it is a calculated risk. Sometimes you got to do that. I don't think we have anything like that this year. I don't think anyone's suspended for the first few games.
Antonio Brown.
Unless Antonio Brown, but he hasn't been scooped up just yet. But he would be that guy. You know, just Rick used to draft Josh Gordon.
Fournette's going to be someone there.
Yeah, so we'll have to wait and see.
I gotta stop saying these because you guys are gonna miss them.
Like, six, you know, I still think a six man bench. Primo, I love you, but I think you're loco.
you should have
loco like a fox.
When you draft, you should know who your starting lineup is, who you want it to be for the first 4 or 5 weeks, right. And then the rest of the five can be trash. They can get zeros. I've had a Georgie where all my bench, maybe one of them gets like 12 points and everyone else got zeros. But as long as my starters were solid, I was good. So right. I love taking those chances because it just, I don't know. I destroyed
playoff time. It can reap dividends that playoff time.
And at the end of the season, that's what you need to worry about. If you're confident in the first 8 games of the season and yourself, then all you got to do is invest in the end. Look at the end of the season. That's what I always do. Just look at who the playoffs are. Start preparing for that because you know you're going to make it.
Bingo.
I'm never gonna fault somebody for going on upside. So there you go. We'll go with that. So speaking of upside, the numero nueve, another C.
Yes.
Look at the schedule.
Absolutely. We've talked about this.
We go over it all the time. Bengals.
We talk about, you know, with Ohio gets love, you know, in this section because we talked about the Cincinnati Bengals, how their schedule is very difficult in the beginning. So I'm fading the Bengals. And then on the flip side, we have the Cleveland Browns, where I've been saying that they've just been they're you know, I'm staying away from them. But I look at the strength of schedule and they actually have, you know, not that hard of a schedule. So now, based on the schedule, I'm actually looking at the Browns and saying, like, you know what? I may actually be considering Chubb. I may be considering OBJ at a discount if I can get him, only because I'm taking a liking to the Browns' schedule.
And I'll leave it at this. We already go over every schedule for every team. Everyone, you guys need to listen. Because it's why I say I don't want Dalvin Cook. Because look at the end of the season. So I think this is, you know, no duh. Look at the schedule, and if you don't know how defenses are going to look, study it, because this is key. This is super vital. And we go over this, guys, twice a week usually, so it's like, I don't know. This should be no duh.
There you go.
Definitely. And, automatic. Yeah, you know, you're going to be targeting the bad defenses, and I think going into the season, there are bad defenses on the Giants, the Jets, the Bengals, the Jaguars, Panthers, and Washington, and the Dolphins. That's seven teams right there. That's
teams are going to roll over. Yeah, you want your guys to roll over
quarter of the defense.
Bad defenses.
So and other defenses are going to emerge, defenses that maybe you target the quarterback because their secondary is bad but their run defense is good. So you start looking at that. And so that one goes hand in hand with the next one. Otro C, number 10, our last one, do pick players on teams with bad defenses. So with the idea is the
bad time.
Air players. Basura. I would say air players.
Basura.
Obviously, you don't want a Joe Mixon situation.
Yeah, receivers and QBs, I think, in this scenario.
There you go.
Because, negative game script, your running back ain't going to do nothing if he's on a losing team.
The Jameis Winston phenomenon, we'll call it.
Yeah. SOC. SOC.
Garbage time.
Jameis Winston blew up. Jameis Winston gave mad fantasy points because his team was always losing, and
it's
he
like
had
top two quarter, quarterback because of that.
Exactly. That's the only reason. That is the only reason.
So so it does show good, and I think a lot of young, like Scary Terry, he was one who benefited from a bad defense too. Always on the field, so he always got the ball. So I think that's a great one, and it opens up the field of what players you can pick. You're not just looking at the big time players on the big teams. You can now be like, all right, this guy's a sneaky good play, and get better value for your draft pick.
No, that's good. Well, I love it. I love it when I learn from my primos. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. We're all dropping knowledge. Though we're always more interesting when we argue.
Yes. Oh man. And when we're at the draft, we've been drinking, and then we're arguing, and then it just becomes like magic.
That's even better. Those will not get recorded.
Those are legendary.
Sorry, we will not those be recording.
Like, legendary. Episodes.
Legend, yeah, right after the draft.
We cannot record a podcast episode after that.
Yeah, those are way out there, man. Those are way out there.
Well, just some players to target there. DJ Chark, DJ Moore. You mentioned Terry McLaurin, Devontae Parker, AJ Green, Tyler Boyd. Those are, you know, the receivers that you want to be going after. So, and maybe even their quarterbacks a little bit. So, hey, that was fun. Everybody, eso es todo for our show. Thanks again to Anchor.fm for being our hosting network and for making sure our independent podcast gets out into the Familia community. Again, please subscribe, leave us a review at Spotify, Apple, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, FamiliaFFB, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Gracias, everybody. And remember, todos somos familia.
Adios.
Salud.